executive to regular.
Make a motion, we come out of executive session back into regular session.
Second, please.
Second.
It's moved second, we go out and come out executive back on the regular session. All favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye, aye.
Say it four times, you got it.
Aye, aye. That's five, that's enough.
You got it, Robin? Okay, thank you. Okay, we are back in regular session, we will go into the afternoon. Just for everybody here, we did bump up this morning, 1740 case will be heard first. I think Lawrence has told all the representing group earlier, if I'm not mistaken. I will turn the public hearing over to Mr. Griffith to explain how council runs their public hearing. Mr. Griffith.
Thank you. When council holds hearings on zoning applications or legislative hearings, council uses the information that it obtains during the hearing to determine whether or not to amend the comprehensive zoning map. After each application is announced, Mr. Lank will give us a report on the action or lack of action or the recommendation or lack thereof arising from the Planning and Zoning Commission hearing. After he tells us what happened at that hearing, then the applicant will be called on to present their case. If you're speaking for yourself and not represented by a lawyer, when you come down front, just state your name and your address before you make your statement. That way we can identify everybody who's making statements. If you're here to speak in favor of an application or against an application, please do the same thing. When you come down to the podium to speak, state your name and address before you make any statement. The applicant has the right to present their case as they see fit. That may be through oral statements or testimony of expert witnesses, land planners, et cetera. After the applicant has presented their application, if there's anyone else here who is supporting the application, they'll be given a chance to speak. If there's anyone here who is in opposition, they likewise will be given a chance to speak. After both sides have been heard, then council will make a decision on what to do. If the commission has not made a recommendation, then council will wait to get that recommendation. If the commission has made a recommendation, then council has a choice either to act today or to put it off to a subsequent meeting. If you are wearing or have a cell phone with you, please turn it off or turn it to silent service. Anyone have any questions about the process? Thank you. Mr. Lank?
The first application is conditional use number 1740. It's the application of Cynthia A. Brittingham and Monroe E. Brittingham, Jr. to consider the conditional use of land in a GR general residential district for a community center to be located on a certain parcel of land lying being in Lewis and Rehoboth Hundred, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 41,651 square feet, more or less, lying northwest of Route 291, also known as Martin Farm Road, and northeast of West Meadowview Drive within Cool Spring Farm Subdivision, and also being 200 feet southwest of Road 262, also known as Fisher Road. Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on this application on July 10th of 2008. The council has been provided with an exhibit booklet like this, supplied by the applicant's representatives. It was the same booklet that was presented to the Planning and Zoning Commission during their public hearing. The record indicates that the exhibit booklet was made a part of the record, that we received County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division comments. We received comments from the Conservation District and DelDOT. The applicant, Monroe Brittingham, was present with Tim Willard, attorney, and Dwayne Powell of First State Community Action Agency, and all gave testimony. We received letters from Mr. Willard at the conclusion of his presentation and support from Betty K. Trammell and Sonia Johnson. We had four parties present and support and gave testimony. At the conclusion of the public hearings, the commission found that there were no parties present in opposition. Mr. Johnson stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use number 1740 for Cynthia A. Brittingham and Monroe E. Brittingham Jr. for a community center based upon a record and for the following reasons. One, the proposed uses are generally of a public or semi-public character and are essential and desirable for the general convenience and welfare of the community. Two, the proposed uses should have a positive impact on the neighborhood, community, and the county at large. Three, this recommendation for approval is subject to the following conditions. A, the conditional use shall be known as the Cool Spring Community Center. B, the center shall be a facility available for public use by nonprofit organizations, youth organizations, or privately for community events. C, all government regulation, licensing, and permitting, including the Fire Marshal Division of Public Health, DENRAC, DELDOT, and the state child care licensing shall be adhered to and obtained as necessary. D, gatherings at the center shall only occur between the hours of 7 a.m. until 12 p.m. E, all tenants of the center shall be required to sign a lease, the terms of which will require a director of the Community Civic Center Incorporated or his or her designee to be present during any gatherings and to be responsible for monitoring the event to ensure that the terms of this conditional use permit are met. F, there shall be one sign identifying the building located at the entrance and one on the building with directional lighting. G, a dumpster shall be located at the rear of the property and shall be fenced and landscaped accordingly. H, the center shall not be rented or used for dance parties or nightclub activities with loud music and alcohol sales. I, there shall be no parking on Martin Farm Road or Fisher Road. J, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion, a second, and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated, and that motion carried 5-0. Gentlemen, that's all I have, unless you have questions. I have the site plans as part of the booklet. I have larger copies if you desire to look at one. I have no additional comments from any agency.
Is the applicant present?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Mr. Griffin, you can have a seat, Michael. Okay. I want to talk for a little bit, and then we'll call you up. Tim Willard with Fuqua and Yuri here in Georgetown Circle. I represent Mr. Brittingham. He's the principal and the applicant in this conditional use. The application is for a conditional use to operate a community center at the corners of Fisher Road and Martin Farm Road. So if you're traveling west from here on Route 9, when you get to Cool Springs by the railroad tracks, go about a quarter of a mile down.
All right.
And it's the lots where this building has been built is on the entrance to Cool Springs Farms. It's in a GR area that's been around for about 30 years, which was a mobile home park developed by Mr. Hudson. And you'll see also that there's a letter from him that the original intent actually was to do something like that there. The evolution of this project was Mr. Brittingham, obviously, is from this area, has been all his life. Owned some property in Cool Springs Farms. He owned the three lots to the entrance of it, and he and his brother and other family members have some hobbies, including motorcycles, and he got a permit to do a pole barn, rather significant pole barn. And as it was building and going up, there's just a tremendous amount of community interest, and conversations started to take place with First State Community Action, with the Cool Springs Civic Association, which he's a member of, and that's how the idea was. Well, let's file for a conditional use to do a community center there because you need the permission from the county to do it. Fortunately, we presented our application to the Planning Commission. There were a couple witnesses there that are in the record of the commission that are maybe unable to be here today, but they are in the record. That is two school teachers that want to do an after-school program. Dwayne Powell was here from First State talking about how important it is in this area to have some central location to do not only youth programs but adult programs. I'm going to briefly go through my book that I've presented to you. First of all, we believe that this application does satisfy the purpose of a conditional use. It's quasi-public. It's going to be available to the public for all kinds of different community activities. Most importantly, will be an after-school program and to house the Cool Springs Farms Civic Association. Those are the two main organizations that are already knocking at the door to use it. By the way, they're about close to 200 families, 150 to 200 families in the Cool Springs Farms area. But if you look at your conditional use ordinance, it clearly states these uses are generally of public or semi-public character and are essential and desirable for the general convenience and welfare. As to the desirability, Rehoboth has the Y, you know, Seaford has, and Milford have Boys and Girls Club. If you look at Belltown, Gymtown, Pinetown, they really don't have something like this. And albeit we're not proposing a gym and a pool, but at least would be a meeting place, might have computers and other such, you know, assets for youth. In a GR area, conditional use, it has the catch-all conditional use for commercial operations, but it also recognizes camps, schools, and private clubs, which we would submit is similar to the activity proposed in this conditional use. Your comprehensive plan has identified this area as a low-density area, which is primarily residential. In these areas, the purpose of a low-density area is for other other uses that are normally compatible with residential uses, such as recreation. In most subdivisions these days, you all will require even a recreational facility, so we think this is very appropriate for this area. If you look at my tab 3, you'll have a tax map, and we submit to the record that this whole area is pretty intensely residential. The GR are rather small lots. They're strip lots all along Martin Farm and also Fisher Road, and then as it branches out a little, you'll see more farms and more chicken houses. But it seems like a natural place for a community center because it's in the center of more dense residential area. So it certainly shouldn't adversely affect the area. As to the site plan, that's in my tab 4. There's ample parking or sufficient parking according to your code, whether it's by seat per table or by square foot, which would be 18 or 24, and I think he's got 29 there. The entrance would be onto Subdivision Road. The building itself is 2,700 square feet, and although it originally started out as it's just a poured floor and not much fancy inside, it's evolved and to a rather nice facility inside. If you turn to the second page of the site plan, you'll see how tables could be aligned. In there, there's a small out portion in the back for a game room. There are three offices and two bathrooms. There's also a nice outside porch on the facade of the building. Tab 5 will show you actually photographs of the building. The parking lot is fenced all around. They're used to, when the pole barn was built, there was a trailer on the property, but that's been removed, so this will be the only building on the property. There's some interior shots. The photographs are not very good, but it shows you that it's finished, you know, just like a house or nicer than some houses inside. Tab 6 is some administrative things. He's already got a no objection letter from DelDOT as to the entrance. Wouldn't give him one on Martin Farm, but they've given him one on the Subdivision Road. You'll also see in that tab that there was a no TIS required for this use. Although a seating capacity, if you were to have more of a formal banquet there, might be 96. If you go to tab 7, you'll see the fire marshal has given an approval permit for this facility for up to 130 people. Tab 8, for what it's worth, is just the building permit. He got to do the pole building. Obviously, if you all give him approval for this, he would need another CO for the public gathering from the county. As far as the corporate structure and Mr. Brittingham's vision for this, and what you have in tab 9 are various things to demonstrate at least his commitment to this. He's established a nonprofit corporation called the Community Civic Center, which obviously is bound by all the nonprofit rules as far as financing and oversight. And the structure that he envisions, if you look at tab 9B, would be his building, which he owns. This nonprofit would lease the building to any groups, could be Lions Club, could be political organizations, but there would be a long-term lease with the Cool Springs Civic Association, and that's the 100, 200 families that live in the actual association would use the facility for after-school program, community meetings, events, or fundraisers. Those for the children and the families in that area. Mr. Brittingham has committed also in these documents that any rent taken by people other than the Cool Springs Farm, 10% of that would go back to the Cool Springs Farm Civic Association as a way to keep supporting them as a foundation group of that building. He's also have bylaws adopted in their board members. At tab 10, you can see a letter from Mr. Hudson, Joseph R. Hudson and Stanley Thompson, who developed this GR community back in the late 70s, I think it was. And they said, for what it's worth, it was their intention to have some kind of a community center, and they're very pleased that it's now taking place and thinks it will strengthen the community. In tab 11, you have a petition with approximately 157 signatures, 159 signatures. Not all the addresses are from Cool Springs, but they're from that area, and they're all signatures in support, a petition in support of having such a community center. At the Planning Commission level, I submitted proposed conditions. Those and some more were recommended with the approval of the Planning Commission. We have no problem with any of those. I think Mr. Lank read them to you. You know, most importantly, there would be a limited hours of operation. The project, let me just say this about one of the most important things driving it, and the need is they want to do an after-school program. You just can't open up an after-school program. There's the Division of Child Care Licensing that gets involved, and we're well aware of that, and we put that as a condition here so you would at least have some comfort that you just don't open the door and start taking care of kids. And even if it's something administered by Boys and Girls or First State, they have to carry that over. So that'll give the protection and, you know, the oversight for such an educational facility. Dwayne Powell was here last time. I don't see him today. You have part of his testimony in there, and he's been working, or, you know, talking at least to Mr. Brittingham, and he testified as to the real demand for such a program in that neighborhood alone. I mean, these are kids that get dropped off by the bus. It wouldn't have to have transportation issues, that if there's a program in place, it could be pretty key. And he also testified about the surrounding neighborhoods, Jimtown, Pine Towns, that could really use such a program. And his job with First State is to build communities. He goes in there and sees the demand. So, you know, such a facility is really a blessing for him. Also, you have two letters submitted to the record. And if you haven't read them, I suggest you do. There are two individuals. One is definitely a certified teacher who's worked at the Cape District, Ms. Trammell, for years. She lives in Cool Springs Farms, and she's on light duty, and she has the time to establish this. So she submitted a letter indicating how important would be for her to have this facility so she could help the kids in the community. There are other limitations placed on the facility, such as when their use would be, that any time a tenant occupied the building, they must have assigned a written lease that would designate a member of the community civic association's board or a designee to be present. Hours of operation could never be past 12 p.m. That's pretty much it. There are things, the issue about alcohol sales, if there ever were, say if they had a wedding or something, that would have to be, if it had to be permitted by ABC, if it was allowed, they would have to go through them. But there is, Mr. Brittingham does hope that the facility can be used sometimes for social events, for just weddings. We put a condition in there, for lack of better words, to make it clear that this property would not be used for any kind of dance club or loud music establishment or anything like that to sell alcohol. Because if that was a concern of anybody, that's not our intention. We have no problem with, if you all like this concept, making it clear that that's a condition, prohibition. So, Mr. Brittingham, you want to come forward, please? You've heard me kind of quickly present your application. Does it accurately reflect your intention here as far as the conditional use plan?
Yes, it does.
Is there anything you want to add?
Need a name first.
You got to state your name and address.
Monroe Edward Brittingham, Jr., 32117 Jimtown Road, North Delaware, 19958. Yeah, everything Mr. Wheeler just stated here is accurate, and that's my vision, to have an association, have a Cool Spring, have a community center in a Cool Spring Farms area.
There are no deed restrictions or anything with the old subdivision from...
No, I researched that, pulled it, and there are not.
What kind of deed restrictions did they have?
None.
Yeah, and I... Well, actually, the ones I did get had no restrictions, and I could give those to you, Mr. Cole.
Well, it's hard to give me some if there are none.
Well, I do have some. I don't know if Mr. Lang... Okay. I think these are the ones, because we did a title search and found Section 2, Cool Springs Farms. And I've reviewed them, and it does not restrict.
It does not restrict what we're talking about here as a conditional.
No, in fact.
What does it restrict? I mean, there are only a couple, probably.
No more than one mobile home. All dwellings shall be one-story construction. It's very, this is 1970. All septic tanks and other devices for sanitary disposal waste shall be installed at the time of construction. All lot owners shall submit construction plans for driveway pumps. All tanks must be underground. Pretty general stuff. Mobile homes must be anchored securely. Cool Springs owners will have the right to first refusal for resale. No animals such as horses, hogs, chickens, or rabbits.
That's before zoning, isn't it?
That project was created in the early 70s, just as zoning first started.
Just as it started, okay. That's cool. Anything else?
We did pull them, and most of the people in the petition are actually from the neighborhood, and I don't think at the commission, Mr. Cole, we had any opposition.
Yeah, just wondering. A lot of times they have deed restrictions against certain things. I was just wondering if they had any private deed restrictions.
Any other questions, George? Vance? Dale?
No.
Okay. Jim?
Does that conclude your presentation?
Yes, sir, it does.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for letting us go first.
It's our privilege. Just for you, Tim.
For anyone else here,
it's good to be
for anyone else here who would like to be heard in support of this application.
Come on down, Joan.
No, I just like...
Well, you have to come forward and give us the scoop.
Yes, sir. Citizens for Better Sussex, and I would just like to go on record in support of the project. I think it's a great idea for the people helping the people.
Her name was.
Yeah, I think she did. Did you say, you have to give us names.
No,
did you say
name.
Your name, Joan?
I did not. Joan Deaver. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
We know you, but the tape doesn't.
Yes.
We weren't sure if it was really you.
It really is, for sure.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else here who would like to speak in support of this application? Is there anyone? Yes, sir.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How you doing? My name is Peter Cox. And I live in Cool Spring at 2728-2 Carpenter Road in Milton. And being a long-term resident there that grew up in Cool Spring, mm-hmm. and I thought, being in my younger years, didn't have nothing like this. But I see that the children now, even my children that's growing up in there now, this would be a great access to them. And I hope you'll approve it, because it's a good thing for Cool Spring.
Thank you, sir.
Anyone else who would like to speak in support? Or anyone who would like to speak in opposition?
Come on now.
Okay.
My name is Patricia Badger, and I have a place at 18606 Cool Spring Road. So I'm right down from Fisher Road and from the area that this would be.
Okay.
I can't say I'm really in opposition to it, but I do have some concerns about it. And my chief concern is the conditional use of alcohol.
There is none.
Well, I just heard something about it would be.
It says that the center should not be rented, used for dance parties, nightclub activities with loud music or alcohol sales.
But I thought I heard something about...
It doesn't address alcohol. They did make a reference that there could be alcohol served at, say, a wedding or something
right.
like that.
Right. That's my concern.
That would be approved not by council, but by the Commissioner of Alcoholic Beverages.
Not for a wedding.
Who can grant an event license for one specific event, but it's very limited.
They wouldn't, somebody having a wedding, though, Jim, would not go seek out the Alcoholic Beverage Commission to be able to have a party.
Well, I mean, sometimes they do. I mean, if they're planning to sell alcoholic beverages, they have to get an event license.
Right. But she's just saying, she's just concerned about alcohol on the premises,
there's no sales of it.
There's
no permission in proposed to come from the county with regard to alcohol.
Sounds like the next party I have, I got to go to the Alcohol Beverage Commission. Sure, before I get denied.
Yeah, we do understand, but in the conditions we have, their conditional use, they cannot sell alcohol.
Right.
Now, somewhere down the line, if they wanted to rent the party place out, and they did, other than that, anybody, anywhere in a hall could do the same thing, as long as they don't sell it.
Right.
Sounds like the wedding has to have an open bar and not a bar where you go.
Right.
Well, I live right down the road, so I'm concerned about noise levels and partying and beer bottles on the road and all that type of thing. That's what I'm concerned with.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, ma'am.
You're welcome.
Was there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition to the application or has a concern about it? Let the record show that no one else asked to be recognized. Would you like me to read the title, gentlemen?
Yes.
As planning.
Does anybody have any more questions before we go?
Questions?
Okay. Since no one else has anything further to say, the record of the public hearing would be closed. The title of the ordinance is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a GR general residential district for a community center to be located on certain parcels of land lying in being in Lewis Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 41,651 square feet.
I make a motion to approve CU 1740 with, I believe it's 10.
Yes.
Condition. 10 conditions.
Second, John.
Second.
We move to second that we approve conditional use 1740 with the 10 conditions, well, the facts and the 10 conditions as stated. Mr. Cope.
I understand her concern. I'm hoping that these conditions will curtail any of that kind of activity when it comes to the alcohol. But it does state that there are no alcoholic sales. It seems that its primary emphasis is on neighborhood and community type of functions. And it sounds like from the testimony there was a need for it. And so I'll vote yes.
Okay. Mr. Phillips?
I vote yes. I believe there is a need for it. I believe that the concerns have been addressed in the stipulations.
Mr. Dukes.
I read this over the weekend, and when I came down to H, we're talking about alcohol, I underlined it and wrote no in there. I wanted to make sure that was specified out in there. And today I feel comfortable that no alcohol sales or that will be allowed on premise. So with that, my vote is yes.
I also think anytime you can do a youth activity and have these centers, and I realized some of the concerns of the one neighbor, but I really feel that with the conditions that they are, that the neighborhood will be protected, and that it is a good, my vote is yes also. Motion passed. Thank you.
Next application is conditional use number 1739, the application of Eric Segrew, also known as Big Trips LLC, to consider the conditional use of land in a GR general residential district for multifamily dwelling structures, proposing 6 units to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 1.66 acres, more or less, lying northeast of Route 270A, also known as Muncie Branch Road, and being 3,000 feet northeast of Route 1. Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on this application on July 10th of 2008. The applicants provide us with an exhibit booklet. It's been a part of the record. The council also has copies of that exhibit booklet. We heard comments from the County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division, the Sussex Conservation District, We'd received 8 letters in opposition and a petition containing 109 signatures in opposition. They are all part of the record. The letters included testimony expressing concerns about the application. Doug Warner was present from Element Design Group on behalf of the application and gave testimony. There were no parties present in support of the application. 5 parties spoke in opposition to the application, expressing concerns. The commission, at the conclusion of the public hearing, did defer action for further consideration. It has not yet met again to take action on this application. Earlier today, I received a packet of information from Mr. Fuqua of Fuqua & Urey, a law firm here in town. They provide me with comments in reference to the Sussex County Engineering Review comments and letter dated May 21st of 2008, a DLDOT support facilities report, copies of page 3-16 and pages 3-17 of the comprehensive plan update, a site location map for this application, a site location map and ordinance number 1801 for conditional use number 1619, and also an environmental assessment report. And that is now part of the record, and it is going to be part of Mr. Fuqua's testimony, I understand. We also received a letter in opposition from Kathleen Steigner. I apologize if I pronounced that wrong. It was received by fax July 16th. We received a letter from Helena Dove, dated July 18th, in opposition. A letter dated July 23rd from John Howard, which was addressed to council and the commission, and also received an additional petition opposition containing an additional 27 signatures, and that all is a part of the record. I'll make a pass them down to be available for the council review.